From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is Battleground Ballot Box. I'm Stephen Fowler. The Georgia Guidestones have been a roadside oddity for more than four decades in Elberton, northeast of Athens. The set of monuments, close to 20 feet tall, has been a testament to the region's granite industry and a vector for conspiracies.
The New World Order is here, and they told us it was coming.
Certain people didn't like what was written on them, and that's understandable, but you didn't have to come here and look at them. You didn't have to read about them.
It seems like lately there was an acceleration of those negative comments.
And now they are no more. Someone planted an explosive device at the base of America's Stonehenge and hastened its demise. A community built on generations of granite is left to pick up the pieces, literally and metaphorically, after extremism and conspiracies rocked the small town.
You know, you can't, all the dynamite in the world can't change a man's heart. Only logic, reason, compassion, and demonstrated love can do that.
This week, we look at the aftermath of the bombing of the Georgia Guidestones. Most Wednesdays, you can find Elberton Mayor Daniel Graves getting breakfast at the McIntosh Coffee Shop, a popular restaurant just off the square.
I go in there and somebody, which happens quite frankly, somebody says, well, what'd you think about them Guidestones? And it's usually some new Facebook post or some new YouTube video or some other quirky little thing. And my typical response is, oh man, you know, because once again, this is, you know, it's definitely part of our identity, but you know, it's also not something we think about every single day. You know, it's 7 miles outside of the city limits and you just don't get that way very often. But I said what I usually say, and I said, I think they're great. Sure, I'm proud to have them.
But on the morning of July 6th, things were different. Graves, who's also the president and CEO of Elberton Federal Savings and Loan Association, heard his phone ringing off the hook. Something happened to the Guidestones. In the early hours of the morning, surveillance video showed an individual run up, place something at the base of one of the slabs, and speed off after an explosion. Graves said, at first he was angry, then heartbroken, then frustrated.
It was the day our quirky little roadside oddity stopped being our innocent, joyful tourist attraction that highlighted our industry and spoke so well of our community and turned into something dark and sinister. And what was dark and sinister was not written on those stones. Those are just goofy ramblings of some crazy person. The dark and sinister thing is when you put actual explosives to a physical object without regard for the safety of those around, without regard for the will of the community that we, God-fearing, typical Northeast Georgia good folks, chose to allow in our community, and somebody came in and decided to take that from us.
Constructed in 1979 on Elbert County's highest point, the Georgia Guidestones have long represented both the best and worst of humanity, depending on the eye of the beholder. On one hand, it's been a conspiracy magnet, thanks in parts to the words that a mystery man with a pseudonym R.C. Christian paid to have sandblasted on the 19-foot-tall slabs. They included, quote, guidestones to an age of reason, and included messages written in languages like Sanskrit and hieroglyphics, coupled with English, Arabic, Hebrew, and Hindi. They include generic, lofty maxims like avoid petty laws and useless officials, and be not a cancer on earth. Leave room for nature. Leave room for nature. But others, like a call to maintain humanity under 500 million in perpetual balance with nature and to, quote, guide reproduction wisely, improving fitness and diversity, attracted plenty of raised eyebrows and conspiracies. From the day they were dedicated, some people claimed the stones were satanic in nature, or they were evidence of a so-called New World Order, and various other far-fetched claims. Here's infamous InfoWars host and disinformation purveyor Alex Jones live at the site a few years ago.
We're here at the birthplace of the modern depopulation movement, spearheaded by Ted Turner and then, of course, Bill Gates. We're here a few hours outside Atlanta, Georgia, to the north, at a place where Ted Turner's great-grandmother was from. And they built this monument calling for forced depopulation of the planet and one world government.
And they've had their fair share of disruptions, too.
My father sandblasted all of the lettering into the guidestones. And for the last 25 years, I've maintained the guidestones. Anytime somebody came up and put, you know, graffiti or did any kind of damage to them, I've gone up there and taken care of it.
That's Mark Clamp, owner of Clamp Sandblasting.
Over the last 25 years, there's been numerous occasions that people have come over and spray painted it. They've put various things. They've put the NWO, the New World Order. They've sprayed that on it a bunch of times. And then they put the little pentagrams on there. They've mostly used paint. This last time that it was vandalized, they used a two-part epoxy. And the two-part epoxy dried a very dark brown, and it stained the side of the monument. So that took me about 3 weeks of constantly going up there every day to get all that off. Other times people have gone up there. We had a gentleman who pried a piece of stone out of it and actually took it with him. He brought it back later and said he was done worshiping it, and of course he was arrested on the spot. Another time, a gentleman, that same piece that this other guy had removed from it, he cut a piece of stone and sandblasted some lettering into it and then put it back in its spot where the other piece had been taken from. That guy was from Florida. He had sandblasted his wedding date on it or something, and he just put it back up there. And of course, I had to go up the ladder and remove that and make sure that the structure was sound. And that's mainly what I've done for the last 25 years, is just kept the memorial clean and free of any other type of damage or vandalism.
But petty painting pales in comparison to explosive devices. So what changed? Clamp says a recent trend of removing monuments, both sanctioned and unsanctioned, plus comments from failed politicians, set the stage for something like this to happen.
We had a person running for governor in the state of Georgia who said in her top 20 list, I think, was to tear down the Georgia Guidestones. So when you have an already charged atmosphere of people tearing down statues, and then you have somebody who's a politician who runs for a public office claiming that she's going to tear them down, it sets the mood for the crazies to come out and do their thing. You know, it's just, I don't understand, and I've never understood why anybody would vandalize or tear down a statue just because you don't believe in it, or just because you don't agree with it, doesn't mean you have the right to tear it down or in this case, blow it up.
Now, Candace Taylor has denied involvement in the bombing of the Guidestones, and there's nothing linking her to the crime, but the timing of her campaign message and the destruction of the stones did raise some eyebrows. For her part, the far-right educator has falsely claimed that God destroyed the Guidestones via lightning, despite video evidence to the contrary. But Daniel Graves, the Elberton mayor, says that doesn't square with his town's view of things.
What irritates us is the conspiracy theories that have pushed this so hard are trying to do it in the name of righteousness. Well, I want to make it categorically clear that in our community, that's not our view of righteousness. Our view of righteousness is not a almighty God that needs zealots to do his dirty work and destruction. And that's hatred. You know, you can't, all the dynamite in the world can't change a man's heart. Only logic, reason, compassion, and demonstrated love can do that.
The conspiracy side of the Guidestones have always been there, but now?
Now it stands for a stark reminder of what happens when people truly stop thinking for themselves and start respecting the wisdom that led us to this point in civil society. And the conspiracy theory leaps from the YouTube video into physical violence, and that is a terrible, horrid, wretched thing. And so that day will always be, to me, a loss of innocence.
Coming up,
this was a part of their family. It was honestly a part of their family legacy, because it just showed how much work and craftsmanship that the granite industry and those in the granite industry and their descendants put into it, and just how much it means to those people in our community.
More on the impact of the bombing of the Georgia Guidestones after this short break.
Georgia's DBHDD reminds people that the Good Samaritan Law can save lives during alcohol and drug overdoses. People are urged to call 911 and stay until help arrives. More information at opioidresponse.info.
You're listening to Battleground Ballot Box. I'm Stephen Fowler, and we're discussing how the community of Elberton is responding after someone blew up one of its iconic tourist attractions, the Georgia Guidestones. Earlier in this podcast, I mentioned how the Guidestones represent the best and worst of humanity. Bombings and conspiracy theories being the worst, we now turn to the best. To say granite is important to the city of Elberton is to be guilty of one of the biggest understatements you could imagine. Two-thirds of the monuments in the country are produced in Elbert County, about 2 hours east of Atlanta. Chances are, any cemetery you visited is littered with Elberton granite. Here's Mayor Daniel Graves again.
We at the city have been the beneficiary of decades and decades of visionary men and women who have carved their own little place out of this part of the state. And, you know, the granite is actually just a perfectly symbolic industry for what we've done with this community. But, you know, the visionary men and women that saw the stone and said, this is not wasteland, this is actually something of value. And they took that and they turned it into an entire industry that is without a doubt our primary industry.
When I interviewed the mayor about a week after the Guidestones fell, his office was insulated from the summer Georgia heat, but not from the rumbling of trucks hauling granite to and from local quarries. He's worried about the loss of a notable tourist attraction that brought diners to their restaurants, shoppers to their stores, and put Elberton on the map.
So, I mean, obviously there's going to be an impact. You know, we have a hotel. Our number one selling t-shirt at the hotel is that we sell is the Guidestone. And that was before all of this. You know, we're sold out now. But we all, you know, the people would stay at the hotel and they say, well, what's there to do? And so it's going to have an impact. And the impact, you know, we're going to feel it financially. We're going to feel that.
Rose Scoggins is an Elbert County native and editor of the Elberton Star, the local newspaper that created a special section memorializing the Guidestones' impact in the community.
I really don't think that we know or realize just how many people come every year. You know, every time you drove by there was always cars out there. So you kind of can tell from that. But I do think that we will slowly start to see just how big of an impact they had, because it will affect our tourism. You know, it'll affect our hotel motel tax that the governing bodies use to help fund different things. And so I think we will unfortunately see that decline. And that was a concern when, you know, it was mentioned about ever dismantling them or demolishing them in the first place, was that, well, what are you going to do about the tourism impact that would have on this county? Because there will be one. And so I think only time will tell just how big of an impact there will be.
Despite growing up in the county, the first time the 23-year-old visited them was to take photos of the crumbled structure and the law enforcement investigation.
And then I got a text from someone that said there had been an explosion out at the Guidestones and one of the towers was in rubble. And I was like, there's no way. And so I finished getting ready, I jumped in my car and I rode out there and I was like, oh my gosh, there's a stone that's down. And so I pulled over and went and talked to our emergency management director. And I stayed out there on the scene for about 3 hours, just watching everybody respond and got to see what they do and took pictures, of course, and let the public know via social media what was going on. And it was just like, wow, somebody had actually come out here and done this. And of course, it made you sad as someone from Elbert County, made you angry that somebody had come in here and done something like this. And it was just a shocker, really.
What isn't a shocker is that people in the community held different opinions of the stones.
I think that really the Guidestones are such a testament to what the granite industry did and what the granite industry can do. Because, you know, people say we're the granite capital of the world, but also, you know, nobody really thinks about what that means.
They weren't some spooky satanic message or a preview of a new world order, but rather a very visible monument to generations of granite work that literally put Elberton on the map for so many people.
This was a part of their family. It was honestly a part of their family legacy, because it just showed how much work and craftsmanship that the granite industry and those in the granite industry and their descendants put into it, and just how much it means to those people in our community.
People like Mart Clamp.
It was more of the skill that it took to build something like that than what it actually said. I don't think anybody looked at it from here anyway and had 100% belief in what it said. It was more or less, you know, the only reason those could be built was because a town like Elberton existed. We had the labor to do it. We had the skilled labor to do it. And we had the resources to make these huge monolithic stones out of. As far as what it said on it, that was just the man who paid for it. That was his opinion. And this town makes monuments every day with people's opinion on it. And it's shipped out every day. Doesn't believe mean that we believe in it. Just, you know, we have the skill to put it in there.
His father was the one that sandblasted all the letters in foreign languages into the nearly 250,000 pounds of stone. It's a fond memory from his childhood.
Well, I remember those huge slabs, the upright columns. They had those laid down in the shop. The shop was next to Pyramid Quarries. Of course, Pyramid Quarries is still in operation. It's just different owners. And they laid those flat, and my dad put the stencil on there. And of course, the part that I got to help out a little bit with is when I was, you have to pound that stencil down onto the rock with a rubber mallet to make it stick. And, you know, of course, I was about 10 years old at the time, so I wasn't much help, but I got to do that a little bit and help him put that down. And I just remember, you know, of course, now being a sandblastman and owning my own sandblast company, I get way more of a sense of how difficult that job was. When you're sandblasting that many letters in rough stone, that takes a lot of skill to do that.
Granite made Elberton what it is today, and the Guidestones couldn't be made anywhere else. But the town and the people are more than just one monument, and the close-knit community is ready to rebuild them. So what comes next for Elberton? Mayor Daniel Graves.
Well, you know, you pick up the pieces, and you clean up the mess, and you just keep breathing, just keep moving, just keep building.
Mart Clamp.
We're a large family. Everybody helps each other out. Even competitive companies help each other. We're unique. There aren't many granite centers in the United States or in the world for that matter. And for us to allow this to crush us is just that hasn't even entered in our minds. We're not going to let something like this get us down. We're not going to let it stop the flow of things around here. We're just getting geared up and excited about rebuilding them. It's going to happen. It may take us 6 months to a year to do it, but we are going to do it. It just brings us together. Any type of tragedy, large-scale tragedy, if you're an American, it brings you together. We are a very unique community. Most of the people that live in this community work in the granite industry. and we want to put them back up, and we want to show the world what we're capable of.
And for Clamp, whose relationship with the Guidestones is literally in his blood, he wants to see a new version of the Guidestones put up, messages and all.
I really do. I just hate to see whether you agree with what's written on it or not. And I couldn't sit here right now and quote everything that was on the Georgia Guidestones, but I think it needs to be put back the way it was. And if somebody wants what they believe in put on granite, then they can come to one of the 150 to 200 manufacturers here in Elberton, Georgia, and they can pay one of those manufacturers to build them something bigger and better, and they can put whatever they want to on it. But I think the Georgia Guidestones needs to be rebuilt. It needs to have exactly what it said on it. And if we build another structure next to it, so be it. I'm all for building granite structures. I'm all for giving something for the rest of the world to come to Elberton, Georgia and see.
For now, law enforcement, including the Georgia Bureau of Investigation, is still searching for those who planted the explosive device. Prosecutors have suggested it comes with a steep sentence of at least 20 years in prison, since the stones were owned and maintained by the county and considered a public building. But Elberton's community will continue on. Battleground Ballot Box from Georgia Public Broadcasting is produced by me, Stephen Fowler. Our editor is Josephine Bennett. Our engineer is Jay Cook, and Jesse Neiswanger wrote our theme music. You can subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts or anywhere you get podcasts. Thanks for listening.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.